I am your host, Ollie Katz. Here alongside Zach Shoshua today, we have a fantastic episode cut out for you guys. We just got off of a Zoom call with the one and only Maxwell Jenkins. Maxwell is a child actor. You can find him on Instagram at Maxwell Jenkins, M-A-X-W-E-L-L-J-E-N-K-I-N-S. He's got the blue check mark next to his name. Fantastic guy, amazing interview. You're not going to want to miss this one, and stay tuned for an important message at the end of the interview. Enjoy. Thank you so much for coming on today, Max. We really do appreciate it. I think we're just going to get into this. You know, you're obviously a very interesting guy, and we're just going to ask you some questions and see where it goes from there. How's that sound?
Awesome. I'm super stoked.
Sweet.
There you go.
All right. So I guess the only real way to preface this podcast, you know, what is quarantine like for an actor and someone who is, you know, in an industry that has come to a complete halt, you know, amidst this global pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty difficult. I mean, luckily I'm not like paying a mortgage or anything. I'm still living with my parents and stuff like that. So like in terms of that way, it's been like pretty chill. I've been able to like still stay caught up on school, but like, as you know, cause we go to the same school, we just finished freshman year. So that was good. Mm-hmm. And you know, in terms of quarantine, I've been really focusing on music now, like because acting's come to a halt and I still want to like be creative and stay involved in the arts. So I've been focusing a lot more on music, and I started learning guitar last year. So I've just been playing that every day now and making sure I stay up on my mandolin stuff. And, so yeah, that in terms of like not acting, I've been able to like find other interests and stuff like that. But with Lost in Space, it's totally been crazy because we don't know when we're going back. We know we are going to do a third season, but it's been so up in the air in terms of like finding the right time to go back, like whether it'll be this year, next year. But it's looking like we'll be going back soon, which is good.
You know, I watched you on that show. Okay. You're great.
Oh, thank you, man.
I'm personally, I'm very into like film and television, and I enjoy analyzing, you know, acting, filmmaking, direction, whatever. And you're really good. You have a lot of promise, and you're a really good actor. Everybody go check out Max act as Will Robinson on Lost in Space on Netflix. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys are cleared for a season 3 coming out in 2021.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like so far. And that's like the plan. Of course, with this coronavirus, it's all up in the air, but it's looking like a 2021 release, and we should be going back to filming soon.
That's awesome. So you're obviously, you know, keeping up with the music, but have you been taking any online acting classes, or how does that work in terms of, you know, staying up to date on your acting?
Yeah, so I mean, the thing is, like, I guess I've never really, you know, taken an acting class before. Sorry, if you hear whining from below, like off screen, it's my puppy. She wants to go outside, but it's raining. But anyways, I've never really taken an acting class before. I mean, I've been lucky to the degree that, you know, Ricky, chill, that I've been able to learn. I've been able to learn while on the job. I've been fortunate enough to work with really cool people and work with amazing crew and cast, and you know, I've learned on the job to a certain degree.
That's fantastic. Wow.
Like, name us a few people that you've like learned from, like that are a big inspiration to you, like on set.
Yeah, I mean, we had a director our first season, episode 10, the finale. His name was David Nutter, and he directed Game of Thrones. He was like the main director for them, and among
he's huge.
He's great, and I'm still in contact with him today. I'm happy to call him a friend, but I learned so much from him on that job. You know, going into filming that finale, I used to like, you know, I had certain tricks that I would rely on. I'm just gonna let my dog go downstairs. Hold on, give me a second. Dad, I'm letting Ricky down.
Sure, take it down.
Sorry about that. But
it's all good.
Yeah, I used to have these tricks that I would that I would use to, you know, get to the right moment in the scene. And when I went into filming, David goes, you know, Max, try something for me. Because we were about to go into a really emotional scene. He goes, don't pre-emotionalize anything. You know, really, really go with her and just feel it out in the moment. I don't want you to think at all. And, you know, from that day forward, that's just really made, I feel it's made the acting feel more real. It's made the scenes feel a lot better. And it's made it that much more fun because you get to essentially play pretend.
That sounds fantastic. Right.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. I mean,
it was great.
You get to work with all these guys, and, you know, we'll get into some influences as well as some favorites in a second, but you get to work with all these, you know, A-list guys who, you know, have achieved what you are trying to achieve and what you have achieved so far in the acting and film industry. So that must be great. Let's steer away from that for 1 second. Just to give the audience, you know, a little background on, you know, who Maxwell Jenkins is, if they don't know, let's hear some favorite movies and television shows of yours.
Gotcha. So I would say favorite movies. Oh man, that's a hard one. Like, I would say The Iron Giant is up there. In terms of like animated stuff. That's really like, that movie hits home because I have three rescued pit bulls. And, you know, I've grown up with rescued pit bulls my entire life. And The Iron Giant kind of reminds me of my pit bulls at home because, you know, they get a bad reputation and, like, people see them and think they're, like, big and mean, but really they are the nicest people and only want to protect you and they only show love. So I feel like that movie hits home to me. I also really dig Do the Right Thing, with, you know, Spike Lee, of course. But also,
fantastic movie, one of my favorites as well.
Oh yeah, I just watched this movie. It was like, I worked with this guy, his name Reynaldo Green. He's an amazing director, producer, writer, and one of his like first, you know, really hit movies was Monsters and Men. And it's, you know, really relevant with all the movement, with the Black Lives Matter movement that's going on now and that has been going on. But, you know, it focuses on the story of a bunch of different people who are involved in, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, events that lead up to, you know, the causes that we see nowadays with, you know, the George Floyd murder and stuff like that. And among many others, the Breonna Taylor murder. But yeah, I would say that new movie really is something that, well, it's not new, but that movie that I just watched recently is something that everyone should watch, I feel like, because it really shows a lot of the sides of the story. It focuses on, you know, a Black police officer. It focuses on the person who takes the video of the African-American man being shot. And it focuses on, you know, a black boy who's has this promise of, you know, making it out of the situation that he's in, but and making it out to play pro baseball. But in the end, you know, he has to get involved in his community and really stand up for, you know, what is right. So he kind of bridges those two worlds. And, you know, I think it's a really amazing piece of work that should be taught in schools, in my opinion.
Sounds fantastic.
Nice. Yeah. Kind of going back to like yourself, what's it like getting a call for an acting role? Like what goes through your mind, and like, tell us the process of what you do after that call. Like, where do you go? What do you need to get? Like stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, of course getting the call is a really nice, it's a nice thing. Cause most of the time, sometimes you don't even get the call. Like most of the time when you don't book a job, they just don't call you back and you just kind of move on from that. But when you get that call, it's a whole different feeling. Like for Lost in Space, I found out when I was in Toronto at a premiere for a movie that I previously did with Gerard Butler, which was really cool. And we got the call and they were like, so it films out in Vancouver and it's a really big time commitment, but Max got the role of Will Robinson. And, you know, immediately once we told my uncles who had watched the original show, they were like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And yeah. I was, okay, this is great. So, you know, from that moment on, you know, I reached out to, you know, the producers and the writers and the director for the first couple episodes. And, you know, the first thing that happened with me is, you know, I talked with my studio teacher over the phone to get to meet him because you have to learn on set. And I reached out to the producers and writers to say like, hey, I've never done anything this big and I've never acted off of a robot. So do you have any pointers or things that I should maybe watch or research to kind of get the feeling that you want from that relationship? Because that's what I was really kind of nervous about mostly, was acting off of that robot. And they said, we want you to watch The Black Stallion, E.T., and The Iron Giant. And of course, I had already watched E.T. and The Iron Giant. Those were some of my two favorite movies of all time. And I actually got to meet Henry Thomas, who played Elliot. I worked with him on my first job that I had ever done. And then I'm going to admit I couldn't make it through The Black Stallion because it was just so heartbreaking. I didn't make it all the way through. I was like, oh, but yeah, I watched those movies and most of The Black Stallion and read up on, you know, what it was like for those actors to work off of those, you know, either inanimate objects or animals at the time. And, you know, I found that it was that everyone kind of had their own different reason and thing that they added to it. So when I got to set, I realized that acting off of the robot was a lot like playing with my, you know, pit bulls, in a sense, because like the robot and the pit bulls are very similar. Just like how my pit bulls and the Iron Giant are very similar. So I would say that, you know, the first thing that happened was I started researching what it would be like to act off of the robot. So I would say that you go through the process of, you know, getting the call, talking with your studio teacher, and then talking about, you know, creative stuff. Then you get the scripts, which is really cool, because you get to read through the scripts. For Lost in Space, though, I'm going to be honest, we didn't get the script for the last episode, which was episode 10. We didn't get that script until episode 8 or 9.
Let's move on a little bit. Obviously, it's fantastic. You know, you all these awesome professional gigs that you're getting, including, you know, a starring role on a Netflix show that has been approved for three separate seasons. And you've, you know, had a lot of success with that. I'm just going to, you know, sidebar a little here. I'm going to, you know, be a little fanboy here. You were in one of my favorite movies of all time, my favorite comedy ever, Pop Star.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I know every single line to that movie.
And oh my gosh!
I've seen it 30 plus times. It's so fantastic, it's
unreal.
And so, you know, what was that like? Can you just for a few seconds, just
I can't imagine.
Tell me.
I mean, with all the cameos too, I can't imagine what was what was like
when
like
you
that,
were on set. Like, did you meet anyone cool? Like, what was shooting with Andy Samberg like? Like,
oh yeah. Well, I got to meet Andy, and of course, I played the young Yorma Tacone. We're in that movie, young Owen. And that was just really cool. I'm still in contact with the kids that I acted off of there. And, you know, it was just really cool to get to meet all those guys. They're super funny. You know, I wish I was like my age when I filmed that to a certain degree, because like, of course, like I a lot of the jokes that they probably made on set wouldn't have gone over my head. But you know, it was just a really cool experience. And like, I only worked like a few days on that show. But you know, the guys were really cool. Yorma, was super fun. What a cool dude. And you know, I got to meet Andy a few times, and you know, of course, like I love SNL and you know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. God, so getting
so fantastic.
It's yeah. like, oh my gosh. But I actually didn't watch that movie until I was a bit older. Like I watched it like maybe
yeah, I was gonna last say, year. I was gonna say it's pretty raunchy.
Cause I was like 9 or 10 when I filmed that. So like there are some scenes in there that a 9 or 10 year old should just yeah. not see.
yeah, for sure.
But like of course some of those that album though, like the Popstar album.
Oh my god,
probably
oh my god.
One of my favorite albums to date. Like
it's so good.
Other
it's
than, you know, the Heartbreaker Essentials and the Born in the USA album. Dude, Popstar is up there, man.
In terms of like original
and
movies.
And of course all the Lonely Island stuff is amazing, you know.
Yeah. In terms of like movie soundtracks and like original movie songs, that is so it. The lyrics are so creative and
I
so
just, yeah. How cool. did they come up with those?
I don't know. It's hilarious. It's amazing. But anyway,
they're so simple but so complex. Like that. Like going off of the Popstar thing, but like to another Lonely Island thing. We're on a boat. You know that song?
Oh my god. Yeah. I'm on a boat. It's oh my god. They're like, so great. I love the Lonely Island.
So awesome.
Do you remember what scenes you were on? Do you remember what scenes you were on set for? Like anything memorable you saw from that set specifically?
So the stuff that I filmed, like they were only doing that stuff that day because they had to like rent out a house to do it. So that was like really the only thing they could do that day. But like I got to meet Joan Cusack, which was really amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and you know she's a Chicago person, I think. Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she like got her start in Second City.
Right. And her brother John Cusack was like wasn't he like just arrested for protesting or something or
something like that. He's a film legend.
He's awesome.
He
was in what was it? 16 Candles or 16 Wish? No, 16 Candles.
He's been in so much great stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that's my little fanboy rant. And Zach is also, I know for a fact, a massive fan of that movie. All right, I'm gonna ask you a very deep question and something that you know you might not get asked often.
Yeah.
What the hell is being a child actor like, and how do you manage being a 15-year-old kid who goes to a school of 4,500 people in the middle of the city of Chicago? To being a Hollywood actor, and how do you balance your, 18,000 Instagram followers, with your inner circle of friends? Because you're a kid. You're the same age as me and Zach. You attend the same school. You have homecomings to attend. You have prom to attend. You have football games to attend. But then again, you're going to Iceland and Toronto, Canada to shoot a Netflix show. So what's that like, and how do you balance the two?
Yeah, I mean, I would say like something that's always been like a part of my acting experience is that like my parents have always instilled the belief in me that you have a childhood once, so make that count. You can have as many different careers as you want, but you have only one childhood. So in terms of acting and like taking jobs, it's like there have been times where I've booked jobs and then turned them down because either I had just finished doing a really long shoot, whether that be on Lost in Space for 7 months. And sometimes I just want to get home and be with my friends, because it's great filming, but it takes a lot out of you being someone else for 7 months. So I would say like, as we only take jobs that can enhance my childhood. And if it doesn't, add to my childhood, then we don't really see a point in doing it. Because there have been times where I've turned down either, a job, because it takes me away from home too long, or, part of the reason I took this, new role in Good Joe Bell was A, it's an important story to tell. And, of course I want to be a part of it. And, let me just give you some backstory. I'm doing this new film called Good Joe Bell, and it's coming out soon.
It's with Marky Mark, right?
Yeah, with Marky Mark and Connie Britton, and you know, I had the option between two different jobs, this one and another one, and you know, I felt like being a part of Good Joe Bell would enhance my childhood more because it was a really important story to tell. It's about, you know, a teenager living in Oregon who is openly gay, and he's bullied for it, and he tragically commits suicide. And you know, it's based on a true story about Jaden Bell, and you know, it was a really important story to tell. And I played Jaden's younger brother Joseph, and I got to talk with Joseph, the real Joseph. And you know, it was just important. It was an important thing to be a part of, and a really rewarding experience. I learned so much on the job, and you know, it didn't really feel like a job. It felt like, you know, doing something that I genuinely wanted to do. It wasn't like, oh, I got to go to work. It was, this is something that I'm really looking forward to doing. And I'm fortunate. That's how all of my previous acting experiences have been. And I think that's just because we've made sure to keep a balance between being a normal kid and being an actor.
That's amazing. That sounds great.
Did you get to meet Mark?
I did. I actually have, I have quite a few scenes with him.
Oh, and, really? That's awesome.
Yeah, because he plays my dad in the show.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And in the
Mark
movie.
Mark Wahlberg's your dad. That's awesome.
Mark Wahlberg. Mark was a really cool dude. Like, I was, you know, I had watched The Fighter before I went there. You know, his boxing movie. And yeah. I was just, oh my gosh, this is going to play my dad. Oh gosh, no. But he ended up, like, being the coolest dude. And when I first time I met him, actually, we were flying in to do a table read, and we were supposed to go to this, which is like you get in a room and you like all read the script together. And we're flying into LA to do that. And we get the call. We say, hey, so table read's being pushed. You guys can just go to Mark's house to just hang out there until the table read. And I'm like, what?
No.
So we go, and they go, yeah, you know, the director's there and Connie's there. Connie plays my mom, Connie Britton. She's an amazing actress. I learned so much from her. She's awesome. And so we get the directions to his house, and you know, we're driving up in our rental car, and you know, we pull in, and it's just we knock on the door expecting like an assistant to come, or like, I don't know, whatever Mark Wahlberg, you know, does. But he opened the door, and he's like, hey, yo, what's up? I'm sorry. I'm a bit busy right now. I'm doing wardrobe fittings upstairs, but you guys can just go down the hall to the left. Ray and Connie are in there. And I'm just like, yeah, it's nice to meet you, man. I found myself walking down the hall to the left in Mark Wahlberg's house, which was, you know, pretty awesome. And, you know, being on set with him, he's such a chill dude. Like, he really makes sure that your voice is heard while on set, like, and he makes sure you're doing good. And, you know, we had like a few like emotional scenes because it's an emotional project. And, you know, after every scene, he'd be like, yo, are you good? Do you need anything? And he's just a super chill, nice dude.
He's a fantastic actor.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He's in one of my all-time favorite movies, Boogie Nights. And his performance, it's fantastic.
Okay. I'll check it out.
His performance is fantastic. It's directed by my favorite director, Paul Thomas. He's a great actor, and that's really cool for you, you know, as an aspiring actor as an aspiring performer, to, you know, have someone like Mark Wahlberg in your ear telling you, you know, how to do your job.
Yeah, he was amazing. Awesome. He's an amazing actor, too. Like, I remember, like, my dad telling me how he used to be that rapper Marky Mark, and I was like, huh, who knew? Because he's an amazing actor, and
he's one of the most creative guys ever.
He's a cool dude.
Ted's hilarious.
I haven't seen Ted yet. I need to see Ted.
Oh, you haven't Ted's seen it good. Oh no, he's awesome in that one.
Well, it used to be the movie that I only wanted to watch, because I remember when I was like 8 or 9 or 10 or something, I would see that preview for Ted and Ted 2. And I would be like, oh my gosh, Dad, can we watch it? And of course he's like, no, you can't watch it. Watch it when you're older. And I guess I just kind of forgot about it. But
yeah, gosh, now you're older, like, so you gotta watch it.
Watch.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to some of your other interests, which is obviously, as we can see, you have a mandolin in the background. You're a musician. Talk to us a little bit about your music career, some influences, writing techniques, etc. Just kind of expand on yourself as a musician.
First of all, I dig your guys' band. Super cool.
Thank you very much. The brand new shoes on Instagram.
Oh, man. I remember seeing your posters around the hallways at Lane. Super cool. And, like, I remember my friend, like, Kate, she posted about it and, like, gave me the poster and was like, you should check them out. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll do that. But, like, it was...
Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, I checked you guys out. You guys sound awesome.
Thanks. We got a lot of new music in the works.
Oh, great. I can't wait to hear. But
thank you.
Yeah, I'm in a band called Cowboy Jesus. I'm in a band called Cowboy Jesus and the Sugar Bums.
That's a great name, by the way.
The name has a history, and no, we aren't a Christian country band. but it essentially the history of the name is when I was about to be born, I think on like the drive to the hospital, my dad goes, okay, so I think we're just going to go ahead and name him Cowboy Jesus. We can call him CJ. Like if for some reason you're like unconscious or something, you're taking a nap, I'm just going to name the baby Cowboy Jesus. And we're going to call him CJ. So from that point on, like I would get like t-shirts with Cowboy Jesus on it. So when me and my friends were getting together to like, hey, we want to form a band. They're like, what name? And I said, we got to do Cowboy Jesus. And at the time we were all drinking milkshakes. We were like Cowboy Jesus and the Sugar Bombs. And my friend with his like 10-year-old humor said Cowboy Jesus and the Sugar Bombs. So it kind of just went from there and we haven't changed it. And I guess it kind of like turns heads and kind of catches attention. So from a marketing standpoint, it's a great name.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, in terms of
music, I want to transition. Oh, go on.
Oh yeah, yeah. In terms of like music and genre wise, we play like a lot of rock, but one of our first songs was actually "I Feel Good," you know, which is a classic soul song by James Brown.
Absolutely, for sure.
And we played it with like a mandolin, two guitarists, and a drummer, and we played like a rock version of "I Feel Good," which is
that's
like,
awesome.
Oh yeah. Wow.
All right, I'm going to move on to a cool little segment. And, you know, you've kind of touched on some of the guys that I'm going to ask you about. But you've acted alongside so many household names. And even in your young age, how old are you, 15?
15, yeah.
Yeah, so are me and Zach. You know, even, you know, as a 15-year-old, you've acted alongside, you know, some amazing actors and, you know, some amazing directors, creators, and writers. So we're going to call some of the highlights. We've done a deep dive on your IMDb and just kind of went through the grapevine, see who you've worked with. There's some pretty incredible names on that list, by the way. Let's just hear some highlights or some a story or two about working with them.
Awesome.
So you got anything else on about Andy Samberg or Akiva Schaffer or any of those guys on Popstar?
I'm gonna be honest. I was only on set for a few days, and yeah. I had a very small role in that film, but and you know, it was so long ago. I'm having like a hard time remembering the specifics, but like I just remember how like so, Yorma and Akiva were like you know the directors on set, and they were the ones who were there, and you know Andy was producing it, so he would bop in sometimes, when I was there. But I remember like that, what was it? So we do this rap, like the little kids, the little versions of them, we do this rap where it's like, oh, touchdown time is the name of the game. Gotta hustle, gotta muscle, gotta beat in the brains. Rockin' spot is what we do because Connor, Owen, Lawrence are the freshest crew. So that was like the rap that we did. And I remember they got on set and did the same version, but like a totally raunchier version. Way raunchier version with like language and stuff like that, and stuff that you know I probably should not say on a podcast, but like I think they might have forgotten that we were on set, or like, I think they were on mics or something and we overheard it. I can't remember specifics, but that was like, that's one of the highlights that I still remember of filming that. So yeah, that would be the highlight of that, because I wasn't on set too much then.
That's awesome.
That sounds awesome. All right. You know, you got to work with Mark Williams on A Family Man. He's obviously the director of the smash hit Ozark on Netflix. What was that right. like?
Mark was a really cool dude. And I think when I worked with him, it was like one of his first times, you know, being a director. Of course, he's a very accomplished producer and stuff like that, and, you know, very accomplished in the business. It was one of my first times, you know, being on a film set. I think it was my first time on a film set, actually. You know, that was just a really cool process, and he's an amazing director. You know, he really gave you the time and the takes that you needed to get it right.
That's rule number one of, you know, being a successful director. That sounds awesome. Yeah. He's fantastic. His work on Ozark is amazing, and you know, that's received a lot of, you know, great feedback.
I need to watch Ozark, because, you know, Jason Bateman is one of my favorite actors.
Yeah.
From, you know, Arrested Development is arguably my favorite, you know, that like mocu series or whatever the genre is. Everyone's like The Office, and of course I love The Office, but I just don't know. Something about Arrested Development with like the family, like the crazy family, is just hilarious.
Arrested Development is elite. Like, I couldn't have said it better myself. The Office is fantastic, but Arrested Development has to be, you know, up there in those types of genres of shows. All right, let's move on. The Wachowskis, the directors of The Matrix. You obviously worked on them. You had a role on Sense8, their show, correct?
Yeah.
Really work with them. They're pretty eccentric people.
I did, and I was actually fortunate enough to, you know, to a certain degree travel the world with them, because even though like there was like this one shot that they wanted, but the location happened to be in Berlin. So they just flew me out to Berlin to get this shot, because they were going to be filming in Berlin anyways. And they were like, hey, why don't we just bring you along for this one shot? And it was one shot in an abandoned, what was it? After World War II, they brought in a lot of people with, like, you know, lung cancer from all the smoke on the battlefield. So they brought them to this, it was an abandoned mental asylum, but they turned it into a rehab facility for people who were recovering from lung cancer. So it was a totally creepy place, and like they had like forests surrounding it. And I remember they flew me out there to get that shot, and it was just a really cool experience getting to film with them, and, you know, getting to travel the world with them. And they have such an incredible way of filming. I would say like one of the most memorable experiences is the way they direct, because so Lana is usually like behind the camera, like behind the cameraman, or like, you know, the one talking with you in between takes. But just right after they say cut, Lana and Lily will look at each other and almost telepathically communicate.
It's weird.
An entire like paragraph to each other about what they want to see in the next shot, and they'll just know. And then Lana will tell you, and Lily will stay behind the monitor and make sure the shot is right and make sure it all looks good. And I don't even know what she does, and I don't even know what Lana or Lily do, but it's just something so it's something about that sibling telepathy, man.
Yeah.
Where they just know. And they're so fantastic. They're such fantastic directors. And of course, The Matrix, one of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time.
Yeah,
and
it's
you can see how these are the people that would come up with The Matrix. These are the people creative enough and to a certain degree, you know, crazy artisty enough to really come up with that.
Yeah. They're like living in another world. Absolutely. That's crazy that you got to work. I mean, they're legends.
Kind of people simulation. Yeah, and I was so fortunate to learn from them, and oh man.
Yeah. That's sweet. And obviously, you know, we talked about Mark Wahlberg, you know, on Good Joe Bell.
Right.
You Mark, know, that's great.
Mark was amazing. So
that's sweet. You know, as somebody who is very passionate about the film industry and somebody who someday wishes to go into either writing for film or acting, you know, to hear this from somebody who is so close to me in terms of, you know, how you grow up and, you know, you go to the same school as me, you know, you went to.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's awesome to hear, you know, and it's awesome to reminisce on your success so far, and you're only 15 years old. And I know you might hear this often, but, you know, that's pretty hard to do. It's pretty hard to star in 3 seasons of a Netflix show before the age of 16. So, you know, you're on your way.
Thank you, man. Thank you. And, you know, just from hearing, you know, your band and you guys are wicked, dude. So I'm sure that
thank you very much.
Whether it be in, you know, music or like you said, you want to be a writer, whether it be you guys seem like super creative dudes and you guys are really talented. So I'm sure you guys will have much success in that area.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Also, yeah,
Zach,
go on.
Is that the Born in the USA album cover?
Oh, yeah.
Behind you?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
The Spring
Huge team. Bruce fan. Huge Bruce
oh,
fan.
Oh, man. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Dude, the boss. You can't go wrong with the boss. My dad plays that nonstop.
Have you seen him?
That's awesome. Yeah.
Have you seen him live?
I have not. Have you?
I've seen him live. I've seen him live twice, and I went to the three times, actually. I went to the Springsteen on Broadway in New York.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, yeah. So I'm going to be honest. I just got into him last year.
Hey, it's all good.
And, after hearing, like, his songs and, like, he just kind of – I feel like he stretches such a wide genre because he covers, you know, that, like whether it be, like, with age range and stuff because he covers, you know, kind of a pop sound in a certain degree, but he also covers that, you know – working class kind of blue collar sound that a lot of rock fans dig.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen Springsteen on Broadway on Netflix at all?
I haven't. Should I check it out?
Oh yeah, yes. He explains everything.
It's insane.
Also, read
it's
the book. Fantastic. His book's unbelievable too.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah, for sure.
All fans of Bruce Springsteen should see the Bruce Springsteen on Broadway show. They filmed it one of the nights, and they put it up on Netflix, and it's fantastic. It's one of the greatest anthologies of such a legend that I've ever seen come to fruition. And he is just such a great, interesting guy, and you know he's been through it all. You know, he's a veteran gone. You know, famous musician.
Right.
Similar
to like John Prine, another great.
Exactly. Musician. Exactly.
Rest in peace. But, you know, John Prine is another big hero of mine who kind of covers, you know, John Prine's a bit more folk country style, but to a certain degree, they cover that whole kind of, you know, their songs speak from life. Like their songs speak to the everyday working class, everyday working class person.
You know his song "Angel of Montgomery."
Yeah,
that song's amazing.
"Sweet Revenge." Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's great. He's a legend.
Oh yeah.
Sure. All right. Before we wrap it up here, a few more questions. You got any future projects or any future acting roles that you'd like to tell everyone about?
Yeah, so of course, Good Joe Bell will be coming out soon. Stay updated for like a date of that because as soon as I find out, it will be on my social media for sure. I think we're all just waiting to see what happens, you know, with the coronavirus and the whole pandemic, the global pandemic. And other than that, we're going back to film season 3 of Lost in Space. So stay tuned for that also, I'll be, you know, of course I'll be updating on the adventures of filming and, you know, because that's, in my opinion, the filming part is the most fun. Like a lot of times, like you don't really see what goes on behind the scenes. And luckily with, you know, Instagram and Twitter now, you can kind of see what goes on behind the scenes now to a certain degree, but like oftentimes most people see, you know, the fun that happens in press and stuff with the promo videos and that.
That's amazing.
But in my opinion, filming is the most fun you'll have. So
yeah, for sure.
Upcoming stuff is Will Robinson season 3, Lost in Space, and Good Joe Bell.
Fantastic. All right, last question here, and this is kind of a biggie, and this is a great one to, you know, go out on. Here at the 312 show, me and Zach, you know, one of our main goals and you know, one of our main priorities is to have our to see where our guests go in the future. And so right now you obviously just debriefed, and in the next year or two you have the, you know, these two big projects, obviously season 3 and Good Joe Bell. But you know, let's think a little farther down the road. You know, me and Zach, and we can speak for many, many people, we are super excited to see what you do in the future. You're a very massively talented guy. But I don't know, I'll give you a rough time frame. Five to 15 years. What is next for Maxwell Jenkins?
You know, 5 to 15 years. Well, hopefully the global pandemic is no longer. I would say that, you know, college would be awesome. I don't really know what I want to do yet. I have an idea of, you know, multiple different paths, and hopefully I'm fortunate enough to do all of them. So I would say, you know, directing, being a cinematographer, writing, producing for my own movie or TV show. And I would say, you know, recently I becoming more and more, you know, involved in American politics and global politics. You know, I've always been involved in, you know, the social change, aspect. I've been going to protests since I was 5 years old. But I would say, like, I've been getting more and more involved in, you know, how does our system work and how can we see change happen realistically? Absolutely. whether that be doing something within politics, foreign affairs, something like that, I would like to do something that, you know, is rewarding to me and to the world.
Thank you so very much to the one and only Maxwell Jenkins. Once again, you can find him on Instagram at Maxwell Jenkins. He's got the blue check mark. You can't miss him. While you're at it, go follow us on Instagram at the 312 show. That'd mean a lot to us. Thank you so much to Max again. Big things coming from Maxwell Jenkins. Now, without further ado, this is the part that, you know, I previewed at the beginning of the podcast. And I have some big news. For the next 7 weeks, I will not be co-hosting the 312 show. I will be away at summer camp. My camp, North Star Camp, which is my favorite place on earth, had decided to have a camp session this year amidst the pandemic. And it was an opportunity that I could not miss. And as much as it pains me to say this, I'm not going to be your co-host for the next 7 weeks. With that being said, Zach has some great content planned out for you guys. Do not worry. We will continue to put out our best content, even, you know, with me not being there. And once I get back, you can bet that we'll be back and better than ever. And, you know, we'll be the same 312 show making content you guys love. With that, signing off. And for the last time, this has been the 312 show. Thank you.